one cannot fail but to notice, unless, of course, one is totally asleep or deranged, which is possible, to notice that most of the readings, most, not all, of the readings have to do with the church of the Old Testament, the house of Israel. And that the house of Israel was made equal in a sense, or compared to by God, not by anyone else, to the vineyard. The vineyard that he plants, that he tends to, that he waters, and that he takes care of in every which way. And that the grapes, and then therefore the wine that would come from that vineyard, is the Lord's. Unfortunately, the people of Israel did not understand this. Now, some did, and St. Paul speaks of this. Not today, this is a different epistle. But if you read all of his epistles, you will hear lots of it. But that he also moaned and groaned about the many of his fellow Israelites that did not believe, that did not follow Christ. But of course, he also predicts that at the end of time, whenever that will be, perhaps now, perhaps soon, perhaps not, the majority of the Hebrews that are alive on the earth at that time will convert to the church. Of course, I have been telling you for about 15 years that Pope Benedict of happy memory opened a diocese in Israel that is exclusively Hebrew. The prayers, the mass, everything, the readings are in Hebrew. Because so many Hebrews were converting to the Holy Catholic Church. And this is happening all over the world. So perhaps the time is near. Perhaps not. Now there are still many others who do not. But we're not going to talk about that per se. That has already been mentioned. And of course, God says, if you do not follow me, if you do not obey me, if you do not believe in me, I will take this from you and give it to another people who will tend to my vineyard, to his church in the New Testament, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, outside of which Jesus and all the apostles and all the councils of the church, perhaps not some of the ones that are alive today, but they, you do not listen to them, have taught that outside of the church there is no salvation. It is a dogma of the faith proclaimed by every single council, including Vatican II. So that doesn't need to be repeated again. On the other hand, today is the first Saturday of this month of October, which of course means there's only two more left of the year. The year is coming to an end. At the same time, it is the month of the Most Holy Rosary, and it is a feast today, the 7th of October, of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And of course, this marking the great victory under St. Pius V and the Rosary, the miracle of the Rosary. It is a day of miracles. That a humongous fleet of the Muslims from Turkey and other Muslim countries coming towards Europe to destroy and take over Europe with a tiny little fleet of the Christians that was put together by St. Pius V and King Philip II of Austria, he was Austrian, of Spain, and his brother, Don Juan de Austria. And he, of course, was the great admiral of the fleet. We're able to defeat and rout completely and totally those who came to destroy the church and Christian civilization. Today, we have many within the church that are seeking to destroy Christian civilization. and their punishment will be great. But it is a day of miracles. So on October the 7th, 1571, the Blessed Mother, through the Rosary, won this victory for us and for the Holy Church. And of course, St. Pius V instituted it as a feast of Our Lady of Victory, and his successor, I believe it was Gregory the 12th, changed it to Our Lady of the Rosary, because it was through the Rosary. Now, in the epistle, and I don't usually mention too much about the epistle because they're usually not related very much to the other readings. For whatever reason, I have no idea. I didn't put that together. We have St. Paul telling us that it is a day of miracles, that our life, our faith, is a faith and life of miracles. He says, and of course, this is something that we need to think about and remember, have no anxiety at all. We worry, we fret. But he says, have no anxiety in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Because when we make petition to God, we need to give him thanks before he answers us. And then he will indeed answer us. So by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, make your prayer requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It surpasses all understanding. There's no way you and I can fathom the ways of God. There's no way you and I can figure out why he allows the things that are going on to happen and what he's going to do with them. But we know that he will. Just as in the gospel with the vineyard of the Lord, the church. He will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And of course, this speaks about, without using that word, it still speaks about miracles, the many things that we undergo. And of course, we must remember, and I remind myself every time I say the glorious mysteries, that the darkest day, the darkest night happened before the resurrection. And then all of a sudden, that which was dismal and destroyed and horrible and unthinkable became the glory of Jesus Christ risen from the dead, who is our life, who is our glory, who is our God and our Savior. And here in this parish, especially through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima, and especially this particular statue that is very miraculous, that has been here since the devotion to Fatima was approved in 1929, and it was brought from Fatima, I believe, such as that one which was brought just a few years ago, and is made from the wood of the trees of Fatima. Many miracles have occurred. And maybe miracles will occur. Right now, this week, we had one, which is a tremendous miracle. One of my godsons, whom some of you know, most of you do not, he usually served 7:30 or 10:30, is an acolyte. Now they're living in San Antonio in Texas, but they will be coming, and they come several times a year, and he serves on the altar. His name is Tyler Miller. He's in his early 30s, has a beautiful young wife and two beautiful babies. A few weeks ago, he was told, there is a spot on your brain and there is a spot on your pancreas. Now, both of those are very quick. You don't last very long. And if you're young, your metabolism is very fast, so you don't last very long. Well, they did an MRI last week. And of course, we've been praying, and I've been praying. And yesterday, he called me on the phone, and then he sent me a text message with the results. Whatever was there, there is nothing there. That which was on your on your brain is gone, what was on your pancreas is gone, you have nothing to worry about. So a miracle occurred through the graces of Our Lady of Fatima, and I had a Mass for him this last week, to Our Lady, to Our Lord. Of course, she is the mediatrix of all graces. And today, of course, it is a day of plenary indulgence in this shrine. Now, right now, we're empty. Everybody went to Mass this morning. There were more acolytes on the altar this morning than there are people in the pews this afternoon. So don't think that we're on the end of the road or anything like that. But it is continuing to grow, and we had the birth of two babies whose mothers we blessed last week. The Castro family had a little girl, and her name is Therese Imelda. And then the Brenda family, who usually sits in the back, and their children sometimes are a little bit rambunctious, which I love. When adults are rambunctious, kick them out. But when little children are rambunctious, praise the Lord. Because children are a gift from God. They had a little girl this morning. Her name is Anastasia Pearl. And of course, both of those girls will be baptized. In addition, we have two more that are on their way. So who knows if they'll be born tonight or tomorrow. Either way, they are a gift from God, a miracle from God. And so we give thanks to God. And then St. Paul ends the epistle, that pericope that is given to us today, and that is what our attitude ought to be. Finally, brethren, and by the way, St. Paul never said brothers and sisters, never, never, ever. That is a mistranslation. That is a 1960s translation of trying to make everybody equal, and they're not equal, but they are equal in the eyes of God. But there were laws that were observed by the Hebrews and by the early Catholics, and that was not the way he wrote it. He wrote, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And when you list all these wonderful things, about whom do you think we are speaking? First of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then his mother. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious. And if there is any excellence, she who is full of grace, who is the daughter of the Trinity, who is the mother of the Son of God, the second person, who is the daughter of the Father and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. What is more true or honorable or pure and more beautiful than her? She is the greatest creation of God. Keep on doing what you have learned and received. And you are now learning and receiving. Because a lot of people sit there and think about the ceiling tiles or about their fingernails or about where they're going to have for dinner. And that is a sacrilege. Not paying attention to the Mass and to the readings and to the homily is a sacrilege. It's a sin. Remember that when you go to confession. Think about these things, says St. Paul. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Not only in him, but in me, who am taking his place, who am his successor as a teacher of this parish. Then, he says, the God of peace will be with you. And that is what is promised. And that is what forgiveness of sins and indulgences and prayers, all that, that is what it is. The God of peace will be with you. Do not waste that which God has given to you. Because otherwise, our Lord says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. Do not let that be your fate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There are many announcements in the bulletin that you should look at. Make sure you get a bulletin. The main picture of the bulletin is Our Lady of the Pillar, which was the first apparition of Our Lady in the history of the Church in the year 40 AD. She was still alive, and she appeared in Spain to St. James the Greater and his disciples. Also, the rosary raffle is ongoing. The rosary is right there. It is worth about $400. Therefore, the tickets are a little more this year. It is sterling silver, and it is amalekite, green amalekite. There are other colors, especially gold amalekite. That's almost impossible to find. But this is green amalekite, and so therefore, I have donated it to the Ladies' Sodality, so please support them. And of course, in the next few weeks, there will be a bake sale and other things that will be on sale to support their many, many endeavors. And I have recently updated the website about what the Ladies' Sodality is and does, because it was somebody else wrote it, and this is not Elizabethan times. Somebody else wrote it, and it was very far from the truth. So now it is rewritten from the horse's mouth. Also, there are many things on the calendar, so please be updated on that. And remember to sign the sign-up sheet for the covered dish luncheon on Christ the King the last Sunday of October, and we will also have the children dress up as the saints in anticipation of All Saints Day. There will be theology class this Tuesday after the Mass. The Mass is at 6 here, and the class will be in the Canon Perez Hall at about 7:10 or so. We never ever make it by 7. Things have to be put away and ordered in the sacristy and in the altar, so we cannot just rush through things, and we will not rush through things. If you're in a hurry, go to Father Schumann on Barrancas. He finishes Mass in 15 minutes, including the sermon. So, you know, that's what's good for you. That's what's good for you. I don't care. God bless him. And then, of course, Christmas is coming, and we already put out the ornaments. And the ornaments are $30 a piece. And they were made for us, or they were designed for us, by Nina Fritz, who is one of the artists, the very well-known artists of Pensacola. And the Christmas cards that are my pictures and one of the parishioners, Michelle Sutton. The Christmas cards, whatever number there are, I think there's 20, they're $20 a bag. So, and they're not on sale, and they will not be on sale as long as I'm alive. They're new, and they're going to stay new until we run out, then we will make new ones. But they have an extra blessing. Whatever person you give that card to will be remembered at the altar from Christmas Eve to Candlemas on February the 2nd. So there's 40 days of Christmas, 40 Masses in which those people will be remembered. And so please get your Christmas cards while they're here, and give thanks to God for Our Lady of Fatima, and for this, the first Saturday of this month of October.